Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 17 of the Decatur Dish, a weekly show we produce with Atlanta News First and cover all the local news in DeKalb County and Decatur. I'm your host, editor, and publisher, Dan Wisenhunt. Our guest today is Avondale Estates City Manager Patrick Bryant. Patrick, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing really well, Dan. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. Like I said, every week we get together and we do this show on Atlanta News First. Plus, at 12:30, you can download the Atlanta News First Plus app and see this show live, catch all episodes of this show. So, Patrick, you were hired. Patrick and I have known each other for a while. Patrick, you were hired in 2015, was that right?
2018.
2018. And you came from Talladega initially.
Correct? I did, yes.
And so you're going into your, what is, I'm bad at math. So
Sixth year.
Yeah. Avondale Estates. A lot of city managers tend to be sort of wanderers. They move from one job to the next pretty quickly. Why have you stuck around in Avondale for so long?
I love the community. I think that our leadership is very forward-thinking. They allow me the freedom to help them figure out the big picture and implement that picture. And, you know, the work's just beginning. So as I tell people who ask me this question, I'm going to be in Avondale as long as they'll have me.
So Avondale's an interesting place. If you don't know Avondale, it's a little bit east of Decatur. It's got a downtown that is defined by Tudor-style architecture, like you'd see in England somewhere. Tell us a little bit, real quickly, about the history of Avondale Estates. Why does it look the way that it does, and how did it get its start?
Right. So it does have an English Tudor-style feel to it, and that's for a good reason. Avondale's founder, George Willis, took a trip to Stratford-upon-Avon, and upon his return, decided that he wanted to replicate that look in the Atlanta area. And in fact, Avondale Estates is the first planned community in the Southeast. It was the build-out was met with some unfortunate timing as it began in 1926. And as everybody knows, several years later, the stock market crashed. So development came to a little bit of a halt. But now, 100 years later, the leadership in place on our Board of Mayor and Commissioners and our wonderful staff are executing upon that original vision and remaking our downtown into a bikeable, walkable, active place where you know, folks from all over the area can come live, work, and play.
Most of Avondale is a National Historic District, right? Am I getting that correct?
No, you're absolutely correct. From 1926 to 1929, most of the development in the city was over across Highway 278 and what we refer to as our residential neighborhood. And all of the homes built prior to World War II are located in a National Historic District.
And so this future that the city leaders are embarking upon creating now, is that going to conform to the Tudor-style architecture? Is it going to be something that complements that? How does that look going forward? Because I don't see any new Tudor-style buildings
right.
coming up.
Right, yeah. While we're not replicating the style explicitly, I think all of the development that's occurring within the city now complements that style or has given a nod to it. In fact, our Downtown Development Authority has developed a lookbook of styles and materials and development types that developers can use in order to complement that original plan and that original style.
That's interesting. I did not know there was like a book you get at the Home Depot.
That's right, yeah.
Where you can match paint and all that. I'll have to check that out sometime. That'd be fun to put on the website. Let's talk about how Avondale Estates has changed since you got there. It has changed a lot since I started covering it. I started covering it around 2014-2015. Policing in particular has changed. Avondale Estates used to have a reputation, and an earned reputation, as a speed trap. You know, you'd go on US 278, they'd catch you speeding. There was a lot of revenue that was generated from that over the years. How has that changed?
Yeah, so we are trying to change the culture of policing within Avondale Estates for the better and bring us into the 21st century by adopting a more community-oriented policing strategy. And that has actually led to a reduction in revenue, a significant reduction in revenue from a reduction in traffic citations that have been issued. But that being said, we'd most certainly forfeit that revenue in order to build trust within the community, not just our community, but also surrounding communities. I think it's important for folks not only who live in the city, but who also visit the city on a daily basis, have confidence in the police enforcement strategy. So what we've done is we've established three different pillars that we that all of our decisions follow, and that's leadership, community, and technology. From a leadership standpoint, we've focused very intently on making sure that we hire the right people. We try and hire people who want to be in Avondale Estates, who understand the type of community that they're serving, who want to develop new skill sets, who want to have interactions with residents and business owners. So that's step one. We had to find the right people, and we've done a really great job of that. That started at the top with our police chief, Harry Hess, and has trickled all the way down the department to our newest patrol officer. The second pillar is community. And so instead of focusing on traffic enforcement or patrolling with the intent of capturing people who are violating traffic laws, we've switched to more of a let's talk to our residents, let's talk to our business owners and find out what things are important to them. And when we understand the community, we're better able to enforce the laws within it. And that's very important to us moving forward. And the third, of course, is technology. We want to be as efficient and effective as possible. So when new technology comes online, like the Flock camera safety system or, speed zone cameras that take bias out of policing, but also provide the department with a wealth of data so that we can keep our roads safe, so that we can locate stolen vehicles or missing persons, so we can assist other departments with active investigations they might have. We're very intentional about making sure that we are cutting edge so that all the tools that we deploy are tools that will help us provide better enforcement to our community.
So after the George Floyd murder and the subsequent protests, the Avondale Alliance for Racial Justice got very active, and they had a list of recommendations for the city. Where does the city stand on those recommendations? Have they met them halfway on some of that? How has the city responded to that?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that they provided us a list of recommendations, more like they have worked in tandem with us to address issues that both parties, both the Avondale Alliance for Racial Justice and the organization itself, the city, feel need addressing. So we have been routinely meeting with them and other community groups to understand what past perceptions were, to understand how people feel, to understand what the impact on our past policing strategies are on individuals. And through working with those groups, we're able to better change our culture to meet the needs of today's community. We've worked with the Avondale Alliance to adjust our policies to reflect 21st century policing. We'll be holding some listening sessions in the coming months and inviting folks from both in and outside of our community to come tell us their stories so that we can better understand how we can serve our community in a more positive, uplifting, and trustworthy way.
So how many sworn officers does Avondale Estates have right now?
16.
And the population is?
Approaching 4,000.
Okay. Well, that's very good information about the police department. Thank you for that update.
Oh, you're welcome.
One thing that I'm want to talk about, and I get excited when I talk about it, is the town green, because I love civic places, these third places where people can gather and enjoy the arts, enjoy each other, enjoy food, that sort of thing. What is the Town Green? Let's talk about that first.
So the Town Green is kind of the cornerstone of what we envision Avondale to be moving forward. It is the crown jewel. It's a $8 million investment in the heart of the downtown. The space will act as a gathering place for our residents and visitors from neighboring communities. It is a space that will be active so that the surrounding businesses will enjoy more, you know, customers. It is a place where we can bring the community together through outdoor events. In fact, the Avondale Estates Farmers Market, which is a weekly event, has recently moved to the Town Green. So the Town Green is something that we just feel is going to help anchor the community moving forward. It will assist us with the types of development that we want to see throughout Avondale. In fact, we've got a fantastic commercial development that is underway now adjacent to the Town Green. There will be two restaurants in that development that look out onto the Town Green. We envision visitors to that development also, you know, send their kids down the slide into the park so that they can play on the playgrounds while they're eating dinner. What we're just trying to do is we're trying to build a community that engages itself. And we felt like the Town Green was the perfect way to do that.
And also bring in people from outside the community. I mean, that's another part of it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, we have created a concert series that we call the Weekend Wind Down, which aims to do just that. Not only do we want our residents to come enjoy those shows, but those shows are marketed specifically to be attractive to audiences who exist outside of Avondale Estates. And we collect a lot of data about those who visit. And that concert series has been enormously successful. We see about 600 to 800 persons at each one of those shows. Beginning in April for Earth Day, we're kicking off this year's Weekend Wind Down, and we will hold concerts throughout the remainder of the year.
If you have to know Avondale to appreciate what a mentality shift this is. It wasn't too long ago that there used to be a sign at the lake that said, and now keep in mind, the lake is a public amenity, but there was a sign that said, this lake is for the residents of Avondale Estates only. And there was a sentiment of unwelcoming. I don't even know if that's a word, but it was basically, this is our community. We don't need anybody else to come to this community. And that has changed significantly over the last few years. And I think the Town Green is sort of emblematic of that. I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Much like the culture shift that we're trying to achieve within our police department, we're trying to achieve that culture shift in the community as a whole. And like you said, I think there was a perception that Avondale Estates was insular, that it was kind of this enclave by and for its residents, and no other communities could enjoy the amenities that it had to offer. And we feel very strongly from the mayor to the rest of the commissioners, myself and our staff, that Avondale Estates has a ton to offer, and we want to make sure that all of those amenities that the city does offer is available to a wide array of persons. So we're trying to cater to every audience imaginable, whether that's old, young, black, white, male, female, whatever your interests might be. We have a little something for you, and we can't wait to see you.
Ed, I used to say Avondale Estates wasn't like a neighborhood association, but with guns. And now it's more like a proper city, you know, where it works for everybody and not just certain parts of the community. So it's impressive to see. It's come a long way over the last 10 years. Last topic I want to talk about is this downtown tax district. And this has been pretty controversial. It was created in a 3-2 vote. Not everybody was on board with it. What is the downtown tax district, and why is this needed?
Okay. Great question, Dan. The state provides an opportunity for cities to create what are known as special service districts, which essentially allows a city to draw a boundary around a certain area of its community and levy a tax within that area, so funds generated from that tax are spent in that area. Unfortunately, the city has a laundry list of capital projects that need to be complete that were largely ignored in decades past. And those projects are expensive, but very necessary for the health of the infrastructure of the city moving forward. So the SSD is just a tool that the city can use to generate revenue so that it can be specifically directed for projects within that area. And in our downtown, we have some significant road and stormwater infrastructure that needs to be addressed. And we felt that this tool was an adequate way to address those infrastructure problems, because the sooner we can attack these capital projects, the better the infrastructure in the area will be, the more development that will occur, the more parties interested in coming into the city will increase, and commerce and business activity will benefit as a result. The board did struggle with that decision because, you know, as any elected official will tell you, the decision to levy taxes upon its residents and property owners is a big one. Because those levies are definitely impactful to people at a micro level. But our board also has an understanding of, cost versus benefit. And I think they take great time and care to understand what the impacts of their decision are going to be on our local businesses and residents, and are very mindful not to negatively impact them in a way that disrupts their livelihood. And I think moving forward with this district and any other tool at our disposal, the board will carefully consider those impacts before making any decisions. And right now, though the tool has been created, the board has not made a decision as to whether to implement that tool in the near term or to wait until the economy is a little stronger. So we shall see how those conversations take place when we get ready to discuss millage rates in June.
And this is another great example of why it's important to have a local press covering your city, because we make sure that everybody's having these discussions out in the open, and they're good faith discussions, and they're happening in a transparent manner. So that's the role that we as your local media organization can play by covering cities like Avondale Estates and Decatur and everywhere else. So this is episode 17 of the Decatur Dish Show. I'm your host, editor and publisher Dan Wisenhunt. Our guest has been Avondale Estates City Manager Patrick Bryant. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope you'll join us again at some other point so we can talk about more stuff related to Avondale Estates.
Oh, you're most welcome, Dan. I can talk about Avondale Estates for hours, so I'd be happy to come back on the show.
Well, the Decatur Dish Show airs every Tuesday at 12:30 on Atlanta News First Plus. To get episodes of this show, you can download the Atlanta News First Plus app. It's completely free, and it's a great way to support our media partners at Atlanta News First. To see our content, go to Decaturish.com. That's the main website. LocallySourcedNews.com is where you can get all of our emails, our alerts, and daily email updates, and that sort of thing. SupportYourLocalNews.com is our public support link. If you enjoy what you do and enjoy what we do and you want to be a paying subscriber, you just go on to supportyourlocalnews.com and subscribe to what we do. And one more link you're going to be hearing a lot about in the coming weeks is DecaturishVotes.com. DecaturishVotes.com is where you're going to find all of our election coverage about the May 21st primary. Today is the presidential primary, so if you haven't voted, be sure to get out and do that. And before we wrap up, today is my son's birthday, so I wanted to say happy birthday, JP. Your dad loves you. This has been the Decatur Dish Show, so we'll see you next Tuesday at 12:30. Goodbye, everybody.